They know what they're seeing. Remember just the season, off-season before this past one, when Roczen announced he was going to the Progressive X-Star Hep Suzuki team. People maybe questioned that a little bit. Can he put him back in the winner's circle in Indianapolis? It would be the second win for this organization with Kenny aboard. He's fantastic. He's nodding his head already saying, yeah, this feels good. Ken Roczen, the 29-year-old German who has called America home for so long, the father of two, Kickstart Kenny wins in Arizona. He's done it again.
Welcome, everybody, to the 406 MX podcast in the Brothers Billiard studio. Today with me, I have once again Branson Frost with me. Hi, Branson. How are you?
I'm good, Brendan. How are you doing?
Doing great. Get to talk more Supercross today, and we're going to also talk about the 406 XC schedule. So pretty excited about that, but I kind of want to run through our sponsors real quick. With Brothers Billiards, they are our title sponsor. They also sponsor the broadcast area, the studio, and stuff like that. Really appreciate them doing that. Floors by Design, that is also the same owner as Brothers Billiards. If you ever need any flooring needs or anything, Todd and his crew down there at Floors by Design is fantastic. Billings Power Sports, can't say anything bad about Dax down there at Billings Power Sports. He's been sponsoring me for years. Really appreciate him, but he jumped onto the podcast. Really appreciate that. Kelger Creativity, Julia, she'll be doing all of our banners and everything for the podcast and stuff, and we're going to do some stuff with other things this year, so we're really excited. And then our other sponsor is Yellowstone Valley Trailer Sales. The Elwell family, appreciate them hopping on board. This is their first year on there, getting ready to renew some other stuff and hopefully get some more new sponsors coming up soon. But let's get to it, Branson. We're going to talk about the Monster Energy AMA Supercross 250 West Coast Region in Glendale, Arizona. We've actually both been to this stadium before, and I went last year, which was actually a Triple Crown, and that was my first Triple Crown, but this year back to normal. The floor space there is absolutely insane.
It is. It's a big floor space, but it's one of my favorite rounds of the year because of that. The track is just, it's longer because of that floor space, so the lap times are a little longer, and I just think it makes for a little better racing than those 49, 50-second lap times.
Yeah, and they have, like you said, they have so much space to do so much more. And the one thing this weekend that really stands out is that long rhythm section that ended up taking out Nate Thrasher in the 250 class. That was huge. And it risky, too. It wasn't, like the guy said, it wasn't hard, but you had to stay so focused through the whole thing to get the whole thing done.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's such a long section, and I think the main line through there was 3-3-3-3, so on and so forth. As you mentioned, it took out Thrasher. I believe Ryder D crashed in that section as well.
At the very beginning, though, I believe that was the second three in, and I was told that it kind of got a little slippery there.
Okay.
So usually this round always gets pretty slick and kind of dry slick kind of a deal. But practice was ruddy, it was tacky all the way through the heat race. The 250 main halfway through was pretty tacky still. Then it started getting slick, especially in the straightaways and the LCQs. It is where that started. But towards the end of that 250 main, you could see that they were kind of tiptoeing around the flat corners.
And those whoop sections, those stood out to me too, being slick on top, especially that littler. The smaller set before the finish line there, those seem pretty slick on top. A lot of guys, you saw the rear wheel kind of dancing.
And when that gets hard packed slick like that is when that happens. So the AMA is actually kind of put in a rule, and they're going to revisit it this off week that we have coming up. No more than 9 whoops. I don't know if you've actually heard about that yet.
I have heard about it, and I don't like it, in my opinion.
You know, I don't either. And they're also just doing loader whoops too, which they get more rounded. They look like your perfect Supercross whoops. You know, if you took a picture of a perfect one, those are whoops would probably kind of have a bigger face to them. There's more substance to them, so they're actually more round. But I don't like how they're only doing that and only 9 whoops. The whoops is what separates the men and the boys. The whoops is a game changer for a lot of manufacturers. They literally build their supercross bike to the whoops section a lot. Cooper Webb's really struggled through the whoops. Like we kind of chatted about last week, how he's kind of changed this year. That was a game changer for him, and he had to come up with new ways to ride. And that maybe we don't know if Chase Sexton is going to actually struggle in whoops like Cooper did, because they're a lot easier whoops. There's less of them. So it's kind of interesting. And no Dragon's backs, which really bums me out because those are freaking sweet.
I agree. I agree on the dragon backs there. As you talking about the 9 whoops, they did it for safety reasons, right? So they're looking to minimize the mistakes, I believe, in the whoops. But as you mentioned, it's such a game changer. It's a part of the track that I believe creates separation. And the guys that are better in the whoops, I don't feel like they have as much of an advantage anymore.
But when you start thinking about it, dozer whoops, they're more rounded. They have more substance to them, a lot easier to skim. It also creates haul and tail through the whoops. And when you go from one extreme to the other, these fast whoops like this, if they have so many of them, if you get a little crazy, you're getting a little huckabuck action, you have a good chance of really wadding up and really hurting yourself on the dozer whoops because the speeds are so much greater. So it's I kind of disagree with the whole safety thing of them, because I think both sets of whoops have their safety reasons. Their why the supercross makes it so how it is. The danger level is so much higher on both sets of whoops. Just one's slower, one's faster. I think I'd rather crash going a little slower than a lot and faster. And remember, AC hurt himself last 2 years ago in Glendale. Kind of started a shoulder issue when he went over the handlebars at the end, and those were dozer whoops. That there was more than 9, but he was hauling the mail. I mean, hauling. I don't know if he'd go any faster in the whoops. Mookie would even been impressed with that.
Yeah.
And I just so he kind of I understand the dragon back thing. Those are very dangerous because it's really easy to click neutral. But last I checked, this isn't dance class.
No, it's not dance class, and it's the professional level of the sport. So I think you need to factor that in.
When you keep the riders safer to the end and you have more racer, the more championship contenders all the way through, yes, I agree, it helps the series out. But at the same time, you also don't want to get it too boring either, where people aren't pushing it over the limit and not tipping over anymore at the same time. So you want good racing. But hate to say it, you got to have some crashing once a bit. And I don't want anybody to get hurt. Don't get me wrong there. But sometimes that's what the fans want.
Yes, some action.
Yeah. Right? But why do people watch NASCAR like me? I look at SportsCenter the next day, and I look for the crashes. Yes. You know, it's human instinct to look for those things.
Oh, yeah. But you want to know a safe way through the whoops? Just do what Anderson does and go around them. Fourth gear wide open.
Yeah, hey, that was third gear this time.
Oh, okay.
Last week. But yeah, so that's kind of talk a little bit about the track there. It's probably my favorite race of the year, other than Daytona. Daytona always has us, even though it's different now than it used to be. I get the most excited probably for the Daytona Supercross because it's different, and Ricky Carmichael creates the track and usually does some pretty cool stuff with it, different kinds of soil, and that is coming up in just a few weeks. So pretty excited about that. Do you like the Daytona race?
I do. I love it. As you mentioned, because it's different. And as we just also talked about with Glendale.
More is this nostalgia of the Daytona race is sweet.
Yes, it is. It really is. And for the people that win it, you know, and they go do a burnout up on the wall of the track.
You mean when Eli wins?
When Eli wins, but I'm not feeling it this year.
Oh, I am.
We'll get to him later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that race here in a couple weeks. Maybe we can do a preview for that one. Yes. Even if we do it over the phone or something.
That'd be good.
But so let's jump right into the 250 class here. This one's presented by Floors by Design. We're going to kind of go down the top five in this class. Kind of jump a couple people that we want to chat about. We're going to keep it short and to the point. The first thing that we'll start out with is Levi Kitchen is now the sole points leader. Didn't win the race, but he's the sole points leader in the class and have more races down than they have left. So that's always a good place to be.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And I like Levi Kitchen. His switch to
Kitch.
Yes. His switch to Pro Circuit Kawasaki, I think, was a good one. And not that Star Yamaha was a bad team, but I believe that it was just something that he needed for himself. And I like him because when he came out of amateurs, he wasn't that well known. He wasn't a Ryder D. He wasn't an Adam Cianciarulo.
So he's also older.
He is.
I don't think he turned pro until, was it 23, 22?
He's not that old, but he was older than the typical age for people to turn pro.
Yeah, like Ryder D and Deegan, all those guys. Those are like guys are like 16 years old.
They are. It's crazy. But yeah, I like Levi and I like his chances for this West Coast title if he continues to ride like he is.
It's going to be hard to beat him because how consistent he is. And he is 23 years old now. So he was probably 21 then.
Yep,
21 when he hopped onto the scene, which is crazy for that age to start because he didn't do much in the amateur ranks. He started riding late, just kind of, I believe Justin Cooper was kind of the same thing, kind of come on late, and that will extend careers though a little bit further than we have lately.
It will, and I believe the maturity aspect, even just waiting those couple years, can really help you out as well, as you saw with Justin Cooper back in the 250 class.
So the winner of this race, though, was Mr. Excitement, RJ Hampshire. He always makes it seem, usually he makes it pretty interesting how it's going to go. Kind of boring this week.
It was.
Other than practice, he tried to break his jaw.
He did.
Came up way short.
That case was gnarly.
And there's a big double that crosses the finish line and there's a couple people that came up short. He came up really short. He's going to need a lawyer for that case.
He is. And I believe he said he clipped a tough block going off the face, I believe, which kind of stalled his momentum and therefore
I don't suggest doing that again because...
No.
Yeah.
My ankles hurt watching it.
Yep, and watching him take his face off the crossbar is never a good thing.
No. But, yeah, good ride for RJ. And when you look at the type of track that Glendale was, it almost lended itself to RJ's mistakes.
With that big wrong rhythm to make him do that consistently for so long, and that's kind of what he does wrong, is he gets too excited, he gets a little bit nervous, and but what probably helped him was he got into the lead pretty quick.
He did.
And kind of got to ride his own race. I think it would have been a different story if he started in 10th and coming up, because that's when the mistakes really happen. Yes, he's done it well in the lead, but a lot of them is when he's chasing and he kind of, Levi took second and he knew that they probably wasn't going to be able to touch him and kind of stepped it back just a little bit because he knew that he wanted to leave the race without getting hurt. And I think with Levi backing off and giving a little bit of a gap led to RJ just being able to put in the laps because he wasn't feeling pressured. And now if Levi or Jordan Smith or Joe Shimoda were on his tail, I think we probably would have seen something or at least a little bit more excitement coming out of him.
I think we would have seen something too. Yeah, he was able to control his own race and ride his laps. So,
and like we just said, Levi Kitchen took second. Third place is Honda's own Joe Shimoda. Not much to say about him. He's kind of been a disappointment so far to me.
Yes.
I had high expectations, even though this is kind of the same thing he's done his whole career. But he was back on Honda this year, and I thought that bike really fit him better than the Cowie. So really kind of a big disappointment.
I agree. I don't have any bad things to say about Joe Shimoda. He's not my favorite by any means, but I think you have to look at this year as you mentioned, a disappointment. The first few rounds, granted, there were two mutters and just sort of some things out of your control there, but he hasn't rode up to his potential, I believe.
And we haven't seen him win yet. Really haven't seen him in the lead. Really, his starts, his average start is in a ninth place. That is, You can't with, and then you're, and then you have average start with Levi Kitchen is 3.8, Jordan Smith 3.0, and this one actually kind of drives me. This one kind of makes me wonder. RJ Hampshire 2.8 average start.
Wow.
But I didn't.
I would not have guessed that.
No. That, but at the same time, Joe Shimoda being 9, if you're starting that far back, those three are going to be gone.
Oh, for sure. And even if you're faster than the six guys in front of you, you still have to get by them. So, yeah, at that point, like you mentioned, those top three are gone. You just have to settle for where you're at.
And the other person in the next place, Garrett Marchbanks, fast as can be, took fourth this weekend. He's been on the podium. The kid can't get a start.
No.
His average start's 8.8. And if he could get a start, he's a championship contender.
That's been the story of his career, though, right? He's not getting the starts.
They say he's so big that he robs horsepower, but they went and got more horsepower in the bike this year, and it's about the same. So it's, what is it?
Well, even when you look at him on a 450 bike last summer, he still wasn't getting the starts. I believe he pulled one or two, but it's not consistent.
I really don't want to bring in that outdoor season there because he started on a 250, was struggling really bad, then hopped on the 450 with no confidence. So it's just, I think, I don't know if I want to include that in it yet. I think I want to leave the juries out on that just because he had no confidence. And he ended up running really well in the 450 later in the season, but he did get a couple starts because he was running up front towards the beginning. But he had, but it is his MO, just not being able to get starts.
It is, and he is a big kid for what's considered big in that 250 class. But, yeah, Garrett's been riding good all year, especially in those mud races. Again, they're a little bit of outliers there, but he did the work, and he shows the skills to be able to be up there.
Yeah, and I jumped. He actually took fifth place. I misread my notes. Jordan Smith took fourth, crashed twice. One of them wasn't his fault technically, but he still ran into the back of Levi Kitchen because of a blinking light situation. I don't know if you read the what happened was is the light was actually blinking yellow. Levi saw the blinking light, didn't know what color it was, and that's why he stopped rolling. That's why he started rolling the section. You can jump on a blinking yellow, cannot jump on a blinking red. Jordan Smith saw the blinking yellow, knew it was yellow, and jumped right into the back of Levi. But at the same time, as if he was paying more attention, Levi gave him a lot of notice that he wasn't going to jump that. So he's got to take a lot of credit for that mistake. Jordan Smith, I believe, is probably going to win this championship. I believe Levi is my favorite to win, but Jordan Smith is probably riding the best he's ever has in his career. And so I have a feeling him or RJ are going to win this championship, I think, if they can stay on two wheels, which is kind of what I want. I want Levi to win because I really like him. I want one of those two to win, though, and we'll get one of those guys out of the series because and let some of these younger guys come in and start building their own career. But I like them both. I just think – and then RJ has a 450 ride in place, which is good in a sense. He'll probably just jump into the 450 on the Rockstar Husqvarna. I don't know what Jordan Smith would do, though. So maybe we want RJ to win because we want to keep people with rides.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I don't know what Jordan would do either. I think that Star Racing Yamaha, they might have a 450 spot next year, but if they want him on that bike or not, we'll just have to see.
But it would be Eli's bike, but do you think they just created that bike, they created that ride for Eli, though, this year?
I think they got
Cooper Webb for the long term. They have Justin Cooper for the long term. But do you think they just created that for Eli, or do you think they want to have a three-rider horse race?
Now, I say this knowing Star is...
They have 50 million riders.
They are the biggest team in the pits. But I sort of think they have that bike for Eli. I don't think otherwise they would have a three-rider 450 team.
I think they would be able to do something with Jordan just because he's on their team now. I think that would be the only reason. But if Jordan doesn't win this title, he'll be back on a 250, especially if he's close and finishes. They'll hire him again.
They will.
If Eli retires, I think we're at two 450s. I just don't see them wanting to field a three-rider 450 team because I think they want to be a 450 elite team, yes, but I think they want to be a 250 elite team even more.
Yep. They love their titles, right? And you can see that with the guys they hire and have in that 250 class. They typically go for the more experienced, which, going back to your comment with Jordan Smith probably winning, or probably the favorite still for that championship, is he has the experience, and he has the experience of the races. He's older than Levi, so I think that is in his favor for sure, but yeah, that's tough.
The only thing that Levi has going for him is he doesn't tip over. The other guys, and Jordan Smith doesn't really either. He was in a championship hunt going into Vegas. I can't remember the year. I believe it was 2016, and he was on the Red Bull Red Bull Factory, not Factory Racing, but it was the Troy Lee Designs Red Bull team, and coming out of Monster Alley, a single going into the track, wadded up before the single and just slammed. All he had to do, he would have won that championship. I believe that was the year that Adam got his 250 championship win. I believe that was the reason why he got that championship win, is because of Jordan Smith just wadding it.
Yep, that was a nasty crash.
Yeah, it was crazy. But other than that, Jordan Smith really kind of keeps it up on two wheels for the most part, even though he crashed twice this week, but still came back to finish fourth. He's second in the points, so only 4 points behind. And then 5 points behind is RJ. It's a three-horse battle. I think it's going to be great to end the series. They're off for 6 weeks. I know that some of them are taking this week off, and then they're going to start testing for the outdoors. But there's some of these guys I bet you we see in the 450 class on 250s, especially in Daytona, because they're all right there in Florida. That's what's happened before. RJ says he had a 450 ride for select Supercrosses this year. I don't think that's going to happen with him being in the points chase. I hope it does, though, because I think they need to do that. All it does is prep these 250 guys for the 450 class, but that's my opinion.
I hope they do it, too. You look at, I believe it was Daytona last year, he came out and he won the heat race. He looked pretty good on that 450.
Yeah, just kind of like what Eli did back when. Jumped up and did really well, and then sure enough he goes and Jeremy Martin did it. Jumped up and took second behind Eli in that race. So it's, I hope we see him, because all that does is prep these guys for future 450 class results.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I think that's good for the. Well, the other thing I do want to mention in the 250 class is Max Miller. He is on board the Bar-X Suzuki. Finally got his first main event in, which is super cool. Billy Lovinovich makes his second main of the year. He skipped his heat race because of a bike malfunction on the line. So didn't get the race, and then showed up and qualified for the main through the LCQ. And then part of the LCQ is Blaine Silveira takes out a guy going down the straightaway. That guy's probably pissed. But Blaine, when he crossed the finish line, he's lucky he didn't blow up his privateer bike, because he was pumped.
He was pumped, and that's the name of the game in the LCQs, whether you agree or not.
You heard him yelling, yeah, effing yeah. I mean, that's all you heard from him. So that was super cool. I always love the emotion.
As fans, that's what we want to see, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think we're good on the 250 class.
Yeah, though. So we're gonna bump to the 450 class. This section of the podcast is brought to you by Brothers Billiards. We talked about them earlier. It's the premier billiards pool hall in the Northwest. Really cool to have that in Billings, Montana. Thanks to Todd for sponsoring the podcast and everything. But the winner, like you heard in the intro, Kickstart Kenny. Whoop, whoop.
I love it. Always love to see Ken win.
Yeah, he's such a good sport. And he was on another podcast this week, and he talked about how this doesn't come around as often anymore. And so he's cherishing these moments even more. And when you start doing that, I think you start clicking more off, because you're not so nervous. You're just taking everything with a grain of salt. You're not worrying about it. We have more to come.
I agree. And he looks really good on that Suzuki. He looks comfortable.
It's a Suzuki.
Yeah. He's been riding good all year, though. He's had some poor starts, I believe, some mistakes, and that's kind of had his finishes a little worse than I believe they would have been. But I don't know about you. I was really hopeful he was going to take his kick starter up on the podium again.
He should. It should just be his, instead of having goggles, he should have a Kickstart sponsor and have him up, have his goggles and the Kickstart on the podium.
I agree. His personality is just great. It's good for the sport.
Screw the Red Bull water bottle. We need the Kickstarter up there.
Oh, they can put Red Bull on a Kickstarter.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's on a cowboy hat. They can do it on a Kickstarter.
All right. second place in the race, fairly good race, Jason Anderson. That's a surprise to me. He is riding very consistent this year, other than when he crashed and went around the whoops, third gear wide open.
Playing it safe.
Yeah, he didn't. He's like, screw the dozer whoops. All right, guys, I want to see 10 or more of these things, and I want to see bucket whoops. So he was just doing it. He was just giving a big old screw off for the whoops and stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Really cool. So he started really well in the race too. He is averaging still a sixth place start, which in this class it's you don't want to be any further.
No.
Like that's six is the, I think that's what kind of what happened this week is he got sixth place start right around that sixth place start and then Kenny's gone. There's nobody's going to catch him.
No, you take yourself out of the race, kind of starting even in sixth. It's very tough to make your way up with the people in this class.
Yeah, and then so Jason rode really well. He is sitting fifth place in points, so still pretty close in there. We'll talk a little bit about the points here in a little bit. The next person in line, your new points leader, Jet Lawrence. Branson's favorite rider.
No.
He's good. I don't like to hear about him all the time, though, is where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Too much talk.
He is good. You can't argue it. Obviously, look at the results. But I just want to hear about somebody different for a change. But, hey, he's riding good. He deserves it. A little more fireworks this year for Jet, but it's okay. Again, it's as fine. Fans, it's fun. It's fun as fans.
He rides the bike so well that can't talk enough about it. He rides it so good that he almost makes it look boring. Makes it look like anybody can go do what he's doing.
I know. And when you, like you mentioned earlier in the show, with the perfect quote unquote looking set of whoops, it makes me look or makes me think I can hit a set of whoops like that. And then Jet just makes it look even more doable.
So. Yeah, I'm not gonna go hit some whoops.
Oh, come on.
All right, fine. They have to be small, though. Because if they're small enough, I can go over the top of them. But if they get too big, I'm out. I don't have the skill for that. Anybody can just give them the small ones.
You do it, I do it.
Dale, I want to see it.
You guys heard it here first.
So if I had to tell you who the best average starter is in the class this year, who would it be?
That's a tough one because Jet hasn't been up there in all of it or, you know, as far as being the best average starter, I would have to guess. Oh, that's tough. It's not Eli.
Is it?
No.
It is.
It is.
It's Eli Tomac averaging a sixth place start, 6.0.
That's
and then
the
Jet
best
Lawrence
starter.
Is 6.2. Aaron Plessinger is 6.2. Chase Sexton, 7.2. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Cooper Webb, 6.6. I really thought it was going to be Cooper Webb because he's always seems to be right up there off at the first lap.
Yep.
Eli Tomac is the best starter in the series this year. Who would have thunk?
Not me. His results do not back that up.
So he has he's averaging a sixth place qualifying, which isn't that that's pretty darn good. So it can't, you know, it's now the laps led is where it gets. Yeah, he has technically has zero laps led because even though he won a race, won a triple crown, but they don't count the laps in the triple crown. But he hasn't led a lap in a normal supercross yet this year, which I think we have it coming here pretty soon.
I hope so. I really want to see Eli do well. I believe we mentioned it last week, but everybody wants to see him do good.
So his average start is 6.0. His average finish is 6.0. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, consistency.
And then Ken Roczen, his finish is also 6.0, averaging sixth place. Jason Anderson is averaging fifth. And then Cooper Webb is finishing 5.2. And then 4.8 for Aaron Plessinger, 4.7 for Chase Sexton, and the average finish and reason why he's your points leader. Jet Lawrence is averaging fourth place on the season. Man, that's close.
It is close, but doesn't that seem crazy to you? You're averaging fourth place for your finishes, and you're the points leader. I mean, when you look at years past, it's similar.
It's not, though.
That's just it.
We usually we're starting to separate ourselves out at this point. First through seventh place is only 7 points difference. 17 points difference, first to seventh. That's less than a race.
That's insane. Because looking at years past, at this point of the year, first to third could be that 17-point range.
Oh, absolutely. And last year, Eli had a long, big lead, and he's the one that's sitting in seventh place in the points, only 17 points down. Hasn't had the best start to his season, and then now we're going to go start doing tracks where he's better at. We have Daytona coming up. Those East Coast rounds get ruddy, and he's a bulldog. I think we're going into his territory. I think we're also going into Cooper Webb's territory.
Yep.
Getting out of the hard pack stuff, especially for Cooper, because he didn't end well. But yeah, crazy. The 450 class is insane. The 250, both 250 regions, I think, are going to be insane. The West already is. And then with having the first turn crash in the East and the 250, that's going to be really close. That's going to be exciting all the way through.
I got to ask real quick, what do you think Tomac needs? If needs is the word, what do you think would be good for him to get his season maybe back on track? Or
a little confidence.
Yep, I agree with that.
He needs to go and put down lots of laps, and he needs to go put a bunch of laps in this on this week off and kind of and get himself, make sure he's in good shape. He always is. But with putting in laps, he needs to know that Achilles is going to be okay. Because I'm wondering if it's just a little hesitant. Everybody's a little hesitant after you take so much time off. He needs to invite some people or to go ride with guys instead of by himself. A little confidence. Get some confidence in that guy. He'll win this series.
I agree with you. And how can you not be a little wary of that injury, I guess? Just with how it happened, that would be in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and at a high of level, and how it happened is why is the reason why I thought he wasn't coming back, because he barely over jumped something nothing out of the abnormal. So I'm it has to be in your mind, but he's got to let that go to put a bunch of laps in, put some ice on it, and get back to it and get back to his ways of racing instead of just cruising. He needs to buckle down and do his deal and just bulldog his way to the front. He needs to show the young buck who he is, because he hasn't really raced Jet Lawrence at all
this
season either, and he didn't do at the outdoors last year. So he needs to go in there and show Eli needs to show Jet who he is, and this is my class until I say otherwise.
Yes, and speaking of which, I was a little disappointed in the Jet Eli in Glendale. There wasn't any of it. Jet caught up to him and passed him, and that was it.
I think it's just confidence. Yep. Confidence. I think that's it. I really do.
He's had a great career. I'd hate to see him kind of ride this Supercross season out and ride off into the sunset.
Thing is, if it keeps going the way it is, he's done.
I agree.
He won't ride outdoors. Why? He's not going to come back for Supercross.
No.
But if he starts clicking towards the end of the season, we're going to see him in outdoors, and Jet's going to have another thing coming.
I hope so. I do. I think if he gets to the outdoors point and he is in, I don't think we see him next year, though. No matter how that outdoors finishes, I don't think we see him back in 25.
I think he's about ready to be done. He has two kids. And
three now, doesn't he?
Yep, three on the way. On the way.
Yep, yep.
So I think he wants to be done here pretty quick, but at the same time, I don't think he wants to end this way. So if he struggles, I could see him coming back and doing something. Struggles and starts picking it up.
Yep.
But I think you're right. I don't think we see him in Supercross, but I think we have a chance to see him in outdoors, which I hope so, because I think he's our only hope to take down Jed in the outdoors, because that's Eli's a outdoor specialist. and always has been. But usually he's an outdoor specialist that's really damn good at Supercross too.
Yes, he is. And if I will say this right now, if he is in for outdoors, I am going to Colorado for sure.
Oh, I already am.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah. All right, so anything else you want to talk about the 450s that stands out to you?
Chase Sexton, I just want to point out his race. You know, we heard coming in, he had a practice crash and banged up his hand. And per the KTM team, they're thinking a top 10 would be a pretty good weekend for him, salvage some points. And he finished ninth, I believe.
So he did.
That's what their goal was, and I'm not sure how bad that hand injury is. I know they said a bone contusion. So hopefully this weekend off is good timing for that, and hopefully he comes out swinging and has his bike set up a little bit better, because he's fast and I'd love to see him battle Jet.
Yeah, and I think with this week off, couldn't have come at a better time for that. One bad race now and a bone contusion should be good to go. It's going to be 3 weeks by the time we get back racing, because we had this week we just had. We got a full week off, and then you go through the whole week to get to Saturday. I bet he doesn't do much riding this week, but I think he should be good to go by the end of this week to the beginning of next, and he won't miss a beat because, you know, he's with a hand. He's still doing cardio stuff. He's not going to lose anything there. Might lose a little bit of testing on the bike, but I think he's getting pretty close to trying to stay with what he's got.
Yep, I agree with that. And one quick note, that 450 LCQ was kind of crazy. Just with that Starling Clayson thing, started some drama on social media.
Well, yeah, kind of. But it was more of like Cade got taken out by Justin Starling, and what he went up to, he should have never went to the outside of him anyways.
I agree with that.
Dummy move. But like he went and told what he was pissed about at the end of the race was, if you're going to do that, finish the job. He didn't jump the triple, which if you listen to Pulp MX this week, Justin talks about it. He doesn't jump the triple. He should have just sent the triple and he would have been in. But then he didn't jump the triple. Then everybody was right on him. And then Devin Simonson was on a mission.
He was.
And then he compounded more mistakes in that big wrong, long rhythm. And then Devin Simonson goes by, blue crew for life. So it's good to see that. But then, and then he was gone. And then he ended up like four positions out. He just needs to finish the job. If you're going to take somebody out, finish the dang job.
Yes, for sure. Just one final thing to note on Starling. He's had bike issues the first two or three races.
No, every race. It's been every race up to this point.
Every race, same part. He's had issues. He missed a round.
And they haven't talked really. He won't say what the part is on social media.
I heard it's a shock. Rear shock.
I guess they did mention it this week. You're right. But why couldn't they fix a rear shock?
I don't know. And from what I understand, it's been different ones. It's not the same part. Like the same manufacturer. I could be wrong.
Sounds like he needs a new shock. Get a new shock off the shelf, spring it, valve it, and call it good. I mean, there's stock Honda ones everywhere, and you use your spring. Spring's not going to do anything. But that's him. I guess that's it's on him, though. I like Justin Starling a lot.
I do, too.
It just doesn't make sense. If it was a shock, why it's taken this long to get it fixed.
I don't understand that either, but that's all I wanted to note on that. On the 450s, I'm good.
Awesome. Well, now we're about to talk about something. This is brought to you by Yellowstone Valley Trailer Sales. Talk about a series that you have raced for a long time. I have raced not as long of a time, but you took a couple years off there.
I did.
We're going to talk about the 406XC series. And before I go any further, Branson's part in this here, he is brought to you by Cowgirl Creativity. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
really, really appreciate everybody. We really want to get our sponsors out there, really get them noticed. Because especially with what we're trying to do this year, we're going to need some people. And this is the series that we're going to try to do, the whole series. I know Chris is doing the whole series. I am not doing the whole series. I'm missing at least one. Branson, I know you're going to try to hit them all as much as you can. But 406 XC Series, round one, May 25th and 26th in Melstone, Montana, Memorial Day weekend, the Horse Creek XC.
Such a fun race. I love this race, and the Adams family that puts it on is they're really good people, and I don't know, I typically do pretty well at this race, so I think I'm a little biased as to why that's why I like it, but it's a lot of fun. It's
best campground around, best camping spots, because it's in one big flat area.
I agree with that.
The start's pretty fun. Were you there when it snowed on the line?
Yes, I was. It was snowing to start the race, and
that made for epic track conditions.
Very good. The dirt was nice and tacky.
My wife still complains about that race, though. That's one that she holds over my head a little bit, because she had to do the pit stop for me and stuff that race. But it was also probably the most fun race I've ever had, because it was so tacky. I always like this race. My arms always get beat up in this race, though. And so I struggle a little bit, but it's my probably, I'll say second favorite race, because I'll say my race, the Yellowstone XC race we'll talk about, is my favorite, just because it's mine. I choose. If I don't want to go through something, I can make you go through it, kind of mindset. But no, Horse Creek XC, it's a lot of people's favorites. There's a lot of people that just go to this race.
A lot, and especially I believe the more motocross focused riders, because it's a fast course. Very few technical spots, I think.
A couple rock sections.
There's that one climb going into one of the rock sections that it gets pretty torn up.
I get the climb just fine, and then I hit the rock, and I'm done.
Yeah. I'm a little more technical focused. I'm not a motocrosser. I'm scared to go wide open because I'm scared to get hurt.
Pick me.
Not the mindset to have. So we balance each other out. I think that's why we work. But it's a fun race. It gets pretty beat up out there. But hey, you got to hold on and do your best, right?
And they add a new section every year, which is super cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is. I really think they have the best weekend of the year, though. Memorial Day weekend. They started doing that last year, and I knew they wanted to do it again this year, and they ended up doing it. There was talk of there was some stuff that might not have added up, but they wanted this date, but they ended up doing it. You go there, you race Saturday, you show up Saturday. My wife and I show up Friday night because she runs the computer system for the series. But show up Saturday, you race, you hang out Saturday, or you race Saturday. I race the vintage class on Saturday, and then you barbecue, you do the pre-ride, and you eat dinner, and then you go to bed. And then you wake up the next morning. You race the big bikes, the A and B course on Sunday. Well, and C is on. This is one race that the Open C races on Sunday as well. But the cool part was last year was we loaded up the camper and everything, and then we just went home when we wanted to. It wasn't a force to get home. My wife and I talked about maybe just staying the night Sunday night and just leaving early Monday morning, because then there's no rush to get home. You don't have to go if you're tired and sore. I know some people have to work, but I usually have that Monday off. So I think they have the best weekend of the series.
I agree. Even weather-wise, yes, they've had the snow that one year. Last year, which I hate to admit, I might have gotten a little stuck right past the front.
Face palm.
Yeah. I think it was talk of the campground. The frost got stuck. I'll blame my dad. Always... He stopped, and then I messed up because I stopped, and then we both sat where we camped where we were stuck that night.
Yeah.
So if you saw us, mind your business.
No, laugh at him. So round two of the series, Burnt Timber and Winifred, Montana, June 15th and 16th. So we have a few week break there. Another great race. Last year got a little muddy.
It did. Another one.
So I still haven't had a true Burnt Timber race. That was my first time going there last year.
Burnt Timber, when it's dry, is probably one of my favorite courses. It has been in the past. They took a few years off there. But last year, it was a good course, too, up until it started to rain. I don't know about other guys. I didn't have the best rear tire on my bike, so I spun on a lot of the course. I didn't go out for the last lap because I knew I would not be coming back.
You weren't the only one.
I'm thankful. I think it helped my results a little bit there. but I wasn't the only one stuck at that race, so I didn't feel so bad. But no, it's a good race. It's a good time. A little bit of a drive for us coming out of Billings, but I think it's worth it, especially if it's
Can't complain. Matt Lee and them have like an 8-hour trip every single race. So
That is true. It could be worse.
But I'm still going to complain. That's a long drive, 2-lane drive the whole way.
Got to watch out for the owls, too. There's owls out
near
Lewistown.
Yeah, I can't believe that. And you hit one, and then I was right behind you, and I almost hit one. Oh.
But that race is a lot of fun. I think
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because we were stuck.
I know.
Had to go to work. Our wives were really happy.
Yeah, they were. But no, if you haven't been to that race, it's definitely worth going to. Definitely. They're all worth going to. But.
And then 1 week later, the world famous Elk Basin XC. I like the course. I like Elk Basin. It just seems like I always do well there, and I'm not sure why, because it has everything that I don't like. It has rocks. It has step downs. I hate everything about it, but I do well. So I love it.
That is a fair point. I've never thought about that. That is not your cup. When you look at conditions, other than the logs probably at Horse Creek.
Ooh. Too soon.
Elk Basin is not your forte.
But I always do well.
And I do the opposite. I don't do that well. So I just,
My only 406 XC victory was at Horse Creek. I mean, not at Horse Creek. It was at Elk Basin.
I remember that.
And the rain,
sleet,
and the hail. I passed for the lead on the last lap. That was when it started hailing, I didn't stop. I kind of went faster because I was trying to get out of it. It left welts all the way around where my chest protector was. Like I said, it has everything that I don't like about a track. I do well. A lot of people really love that course, though. There's a lot of people that just come to that race also. But it's not my forte, but maybe it is.
It's got to be. Look at your results. But that race, especially when it's usually as dry and dusty and hot as it usually is, when you finish that race, at least for me, there is a little bit bigger of a sense of accomplishment, I guess you could say. It's like, wow, that was a tough course. And last year, super muddy. I didn't do the pre-ride, and I'm glad, because there were people stuck back there.
We should ask Chris about the pre-ride.
Yeah, I'm a little butthurt because I'm not a good sport, and you gave him your bike to ride the next day, which hurt me in the points. But that's a different story.
No. I'm just a nice guy, and I like Chris a lot. He's now our teammate, so you can't talk smack no more.
No, he deserved your bike. He rode good. Bummer
he made
deal.
He made it look like it can go fast for real.
bummer deal with his clutch, I believe it was, on his bike was, I believe I passed it in the race laying down there in the back 40 of that course.
Oh, you did. It was right. It was the talk of the people that it was too close to the side. I saw where it was at the end because I hopped in the truck. We went and found the bike. Really didn't know where it was. We had to take a truck back there. We found it.
Easy enough to get around. I don't agree with that. But last year, I will say the second lap, racing B class, we only did 2 laps out there. The second lap, some of the best conditions I've ever rode at. Probably the best conditions I've rode out at Elk Basin anyways. First lap was a little slimy, muddy, but that second lap, it was really good. I was tired and out of shape by then, but really good.
And we have a new promoter this year, actually, for that race.
That's what you were telling me.
Jordan Schmidt is taking over this year. Trevor Pankratz is going to help him with that. Trevor's crew is just getting a little bit burnt out. They've been doing it for so long. A lot of them have kids and stuff. They're growing up. So it's time for a new promoter. Jordan Schmidt's going to do great. I have no concerns with Jordan doing what he's going to do. He's going to put up he'll try to do his very best, set the best course as possible. And Trevor is helping him. Because there's a lot of things that you have to do differently for that race. You actually have to map it all out before. You have to map the whole thing out to give to the BLM and stuff like that. But then they have to build that track in a week.
Because I did not know that.
A week, like a week or 2 weeks. They have to mark it all pretty much that week before the race, though.
Wow. Yeah.
They go find the course and ride the course, map it and stuff like that. But I don't think they start placing flags until the week before that week before the race.
Yeah, I did not know that. And if any of you guys out there have marked a course, it's not as easy as it seems. It's not.
Coming from one that has done it, and I feel like I'm getting better at it. It definitely takes a skill to know when to place the other one. And the last few years, people helping me, I think they're starting to figure that out. Where I'm telling them, they're like, already? And I'm like, yeah, it's time. It's got to be right here. So, which is cool. But yeah, it's cool. I'm really excited for Jordan to take over. He's actually, we'll talk about the BMC schedule here next couple weeks also. But he is doing a few other races too, not just Elk Basin. He's jumping into the deep end. And for someone who puts on a race and doesn't want to put on more than one, I really appreciate him doing that.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. Jump into the deep end.
And then the best race of the year. Billings Motorcycle Club.
Debatable.
Billings Motorcycle Club. I am about to mute his mic. Yellowstone XC, August 3rd and 4th. Put on by yours truly. And then also help with Brian Roach. And why am I slipping my mind? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because he forgets about me. I'm just kidding. Dante Betts. I know he listens to this podcast. I really appreciate Dante's help. Dante did a lot of the course with me last year. And then Brian did a lot of the behind the scenes. Brian also helped with the track and then day of stuff. We have a good crew. So really excited to do it again with them this year.
You keeping the logs in this year in that back section?
Yep.
We should make them bigger.
Well, they're starting to get worn down a little bit.
They are. They're getting a little too easy.
Maybe we should skip a year and come back.
Ooh.
And let nature. Yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll have a pre-race talk about the course, and we'll see if they're in there or not.
It's going to be a surprise.
Yep.
Bring your hand guards.
Yeah, oh, definitely bring your hand guards to the BMC, especially some of the stuff. All of these races, bring your hand guards. You're going to need them. So, yeah, pretty excited for that race just because I look forward to that race all year long just because I get to put into things that I really like, and the BMC has so much to offer. So I get pretty excited. Last year, I messed up a little bit on the kids' course. It will be a lot better this year. I really apologize for that. But I tried to do something to make it better, and it actually made it worse. Now I know. Live and learn. Kids' course will be better than it was last year. So please come back, everybody. We're going to do well. Branson's going to help out this year.
Yep. Plan to. And on a serious note, I raced it last year. I think you did a very good job on the AB course. I guess I didn't hear everything with that kids course ordeal.
It just got a little nasty because I let you guys go first. I was trying to knock down the ruts where the rain ruts we had.
And I do just remember that now.
And it kind of turned it into a little bit of a AKA shit show.
Hey, as you said, live and learn. And I do remember that now that you say that, but no, on a serious note, you did a good job last year. The course was a lot of fun. So
thank you.
I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for all of them, but I believe we have one more to get into.
Yep. Last race of the series, August 24th and 25th. Last Chance Raceway in Helena, Montana. A little bit of a different race. So I've never been there. I know we talked pre-recording that you've never been there either.
I have not.
But I heard about it. I was able to make it that year. I'm not able to make it this year because it is my anniversary and I really want to stay married. I'm telling her you just did that face.
I probably won't make it either. It turns out it's my wife's birthday that weekend
too. It is? No way.
I know. I don't know how you forgot.
Okay, my anniversary and her birthday might be on the same day.
They very well might be.
But it is a really cool, it's a different style race though. It's faster. I've done the GP races that they do there. They use part of the motocross track. They use some single track. What they do is also they have a little bit more property they're able to use for the XC that they go out into, which is cool. They have an enduro cross section too. Shorter laps, lots of laps, bring lots of water, bring your conditioning. If you're going to train for a race, that's the one to train for because you're going to need every ounce of energy that you got for that 2-hour, 2.5-hour race, 3-hour race.
It's bringing more of a sprint enduro type format into it, huh?
Yep, exactly. A little bit shorter than those, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a short. They just don't have a ton of property to work with, yeah. Which is really cool that they want to be a part of the series because they use their GPs are awesome. If you've never been to those, I suggest one. With the motocross kids that are out of Helena there, they're going to make you feel really slow. Been there. I thought I was riding good, and then a kid on 85 passed me hauling tail. I was like, I quit. No, I didn't quit. I'm not a quitter, but it was one of those deals.
Oh, everybody makes me look slow nowadays, but I wish I could.
Yeah, they do.
They do. I wish I could elaborate a little more. I haven't been up there, as you mentioned. Really awesome, though, for those guys to join, as you mentioned. And on that note, just everybody that's putting on a race this year and promoting, thank you. I know how much work it is. To an extent, I don't know all of it, but...
You only know half of it, and yeah. I only know half of it. These guys that are on their private property, Last Chance probably has a little bit easier way because of they're kind of a club. Yellowstone at the BMC makes it pretty easy. Elk Basin, they have a lot of deal with the BLM and stuff.
Yes.
But the Burnt Timber and Horse Creek probably have it the absolute hardest because they're on private properties. They have to find their own insurance, BMC has their own insurance for all their events, but these guys have to find their insurance. They have to insure it. They have a lot more on the line for their race than we do per race.
Yes. And so thank you to everybody that's putting on a race, especially those private land guys. And putting on a race isn't as easy as it seems. So maybe some of the people out there going off about how the course is just, maybe think about that a little bit, but yeah, thanks.
There's a few out there that really need to listen to that.
Yeah.
All the complaining that happens, and then you come back again next year. Maybe just hold off on the complaining, because if you don't understand what kind of goes into those races, especially those other two races we were just talking about, but then you complain, 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 and then you show up next year, and then you complain again about something different. Just go into the track. I want all the racers to go into a mindset this year, just having fun, be competitive, but also if you don't like something, maybe just close your mouth a little bit. Maybe mention it in a way that's a lot nicer and respectful. Because it goes a long ways to these guys, to all of us promoters, to make things as best as possible. We're not going to be perfect. We want to be, but we're not. Just go into it, and if you have any suggestions, not complaints, suggestions, that's one thing. But our series really has some of the best racers in the state, because we have our odds and ends people who people don't care for, but at the same time, they deserve it. But our racers and a lot of our series members and our guys that go to every single race, I wouldn't trade them for the world.
I agree with that, and I just wanted to throw it out there. They are giving us more races, right? And for those of us that this is what we do, that's what we want. So just keep that in mind. Just everybody that we've listed in the races, just thank you. And we really appreciate you. Especially I guess I'm his co-host, but the guy next to me, thank you.
Brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, okay.
That's your nickname this year.
Thank you for what you do. I appreciate you taking on the race because I know it's a lot of work, as you said. So
thank you. So I'm just going to kind of mention a couple more little things about this, give everybody some information. What we're going to do with these podcasts is we're going to do a podcast for every single race. I might not have a co-host at all those, because I kind of go at the mercy of when these guys can do it. I'll talk to each promoter about and promote their race, and then so you'll learn about the track a little bit beforehand, what to expect, where to park, and everything like that. We started doing that last year. We're going to do it again this year, but we're going to do it for every single race. I'm going to make that happen. It might be a month before, but it's going to happen. I want to do every single race, talk to everybody, so everybody knows what to expect. And the last thing with the series is go to the 406XC website. Just Google 406XC and you'll find that it's 406XC.com. Sign up for the series. The 406XC registration is open. Sign up. $35, and then it gets you in for the series rewards and stuff like that. Cash and trophies, and the trophies are unbeatable. I think they're the best trophies in the state for series wise. It's really cool. Yeah, so everybody go join the series. Big thanks to the sponsors of the podcast: Brothers Billiards, Floors by Design, Calgo Creativity, Billings Power Sports, and Yellowstone Valley Trailer Sales. Without them, we wouldn't do it. If you know anybody that wants to get involved or want to be part of the podcast, let us know. If anybody wants to be a sponsor of the podcast, let me know. We'll get you on. I would love to do some interviews with some riders. So until next time, thanks, Branson, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And probably see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Because we are going to take next week off. So until next time, we'll see you in a couple weeks.